For many people the world over, this time of year is recognized as the beginning of the year. For Jews and the Chinese, they celebrate right this period as seed time, when everything goes to seed, and locked up in those seeds is the promise of rebirth and renewal. November 1st, today, is halfway between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice. For ancient pagans and contemporary ones too, these halfway times, cross-quarter days, are of special significance. They called this day Samhain. It was said and believed that on Samhain, the screen separating the realm of the living from that of the dead became much thinner, a gossamer veil so sheer as to become permeable, if only briefly, allowing the souls of the dead of the previous year access to their next new world. As their spirits wandered en route, they were guided by bonfires and sustained by special foods, and by their relatives and friends dressing up as spirits to commune and interact with them. The word pagan comes from the Latin word for farmer. Pagans were essentially rural folk who, following the Roman imposition of Christianity, quietly clung to their old ways, remaining faithful to the ancient festivals, celebrating their connections to the seasonal rhythms of nature. The Romans didn't force compliance with their new Christian religion. Well, not much, and not at first anyway. They maintained all the old festivals and celebrations, just Christianizing them and giving each holiday new meanings. It took a couple of centuries, but eventually the pagans and the peasants all went along. Samhain became All Saints Day, and the night before, All Hallowed Eve. What sainthood entailed, however, was a changing concept. In the early church, the first 300 years or so, saints were simply members, people who had been baptized and had committed themselves to following the life and teachings of Jesus, no matter how imperfectly. Later, during the times of persecution, saints came to refer to martyrs whose very public discipleship unto death was both stirring and inspirational to their peers. So it was that the understanding of what sainthood entailed narrowed over time from anybody who was baptized to people of genuinely heroic virtue. If we think of saints in the original way as the fellowship of the faithful and the mystical body of the risen Christ, then everyone is automatically included. The known and the unknown, the canonized and also rans, the deceased and the living. As St. Paul says in Galatians, there is no Greek nor Jew, no slave nor free, no female nor male, but all are one, all are unified in the risen Christ. But once they started thinking about saints as set apart and altogether exemplary, then All Saints Day became rarefied and austere. Certainly no occasion for celebration, and certainly not a good time to go on a bender. And so, sort of naturally, there emerged a desire to remember the far greater number of ordinary souls who did not reach the recognized heights of holiness. In the year 998, November 2nd, All Souls Day began to be celebrated among the Benedictines in France. It was gradually adopted by other communities throughout the Middle Ages. The Protestant reformers, beginning about 500 years ago, further elevated the idea of sainthood. Among the stern, unyielding Calvinists, it was said that only one in 100 was among the elect. Everybody else was destined for hell, pure and simple. It was not a hopeful nor cheery theology. And so naturally, more generous ways of understanding ourselves and our proper wholesome place in the world began to emerge. In early America, a more liberal and optimistic vision of life began to be proclaimed by our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors. They did not believe in hell, though each group came to that conclusion in their own way. Kind of a story. In the mid-19th century, Thomas Gold Appleton, brother-in-law of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, defined the difference between the Unitarians and the Universalists. His witty statement accurately captured that one group relied on the goodness of the divine and the other on human ability when he said that the small-town Universalists believed that God was too good to damn them, while the self-confident, more urban Unitarians believed that people like themselves were too good to be damned. In any case, both denominations believed in a deity that embraced everyone, leading by the 20th century to our UU belief that lasting truth is found in all religions and that human worth and dignity are innate to everyone, regardless of their race, sex, class, gender, or orientation. By the 50s, the two groups recognized that they could do more together, and they joined in 1961. In it, hell became the psychological, for Unitarians and Universalism, hell became the psychological condition people put themselves through in life by A, trying to live up to inhuman demands of perfectibility, or B, abandoning all concern for perfectibility and drifting into a life of dissipation. The human condition, Unitarians and Universalists believe, then as now, was blessed, and all of creation with it. This is what we, as modern UUs, celebrate on All Souls Day, that reality antecedent to all categories is one, that we come out of that unity into multiplicity when we're born, and that on the final day of judgment, we, along with everything else and all souls from all times, will be reintegrated into the eternal Godhead, out of unity into multiplicity and back into unity. We Unitarian Universalists celebrate a God that loves every person as dignified and worthy. Is it any wonder that our UU forebears named more than 20 of our congregations All Souls Church? These congregations are from coast to coast, Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Belleville, Ohio in the Midwest, New London, Connecticut, Watertown, New York, and Braintree, Massachusetts, Colorado Springs, Sioux Falls, Brownsville, Texas, and Lacey, down near Olympia, right here in Washington, All Souls Churches. And there are several more. All Souls Tulsa has over 1,800 members, is multiracial, and to quote their website, unafraid to speak out in the community about reproductive rights, the rights of those who have been suffered past wrongs, and to comfort all who are afflicted. Truly, a church of the free spirit. All Souls in Greenfield, Massachusetts was organized in 1825, led by a man whose baby son had recently died. When he heard the local Calvinist minister declare from the pulpit that unbaptized children all went to hell, he got up, walked out, and vowed to start a church espousing universal salvation. And he did just that. All Souls in Greenfield, Mass is thriving to this day. All Souls Washington, D.C. is one of the most progressive pulpits in our nation's capital and has been for nearly 200 years, expressing faith through acts of justice and compassion. My suffragist, great aunt Louise, was a member of that church back in the 19-teens and 20s. She once told me that their church bills bells rang more optimistically than any others in Washington, loudly pealing out, "No hell, no hell, no hell, no hell," from the church steeple. All Souls in Brattleboro, Vermont dates to the early 1790s, when the legendary Universalist Hosea Ballou preached to a small gathering nearby. By the 1830s, both Universalists and Unitarians had built up their congregations, and they had built attractive edifices. But they decided they'd benefit from joining. They did in 1922, 40 years before their respective denominations followed suit. All Souls. That's what we celebrate here and across Unitarian Universalists. The value and worth of everybody. And today, indeed, every day, we hold up those siblings in spirit who've died over the past year, especially those from our church and in the lives of all our hearts, and the many who have come to their death from COVID-19. As of this morning, that includes over 235,000 Americans. We are all anguished by this terrible loss and pray that these citizens are at rest and free from suffering of any kind, and that those they left behind are comforted by their neighbors and family. That this pandemic has been allowed to metastasize as it has is a public health disaster laid at the feet of the current administration, an administration that does not believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people. They have made it abundantly clear that they don't worship at the altar of all souls, but we do. Hallelujah and amen.